Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back. It is Wednesday, January 26, 2022, and I am delighted to be back with you and delighted to be back in my kitchen, seated at the kitchen table, and doing this devotional this morning. I appreciate everybody's prayers yesterday, and I also didn't even catch it until last night. I got back last night a little after 9 o'clock, but I saw the picture that I think my mother posted on the Old Providence page, and I got a lot of your kind comments, and thank you very much. Yesterday was a surreal experience. I had the honor of preaching at the convocation service, the first chapel service of the year at Erskine College, which is down in South Carolina. Erskine is the ARP's college and seminary. And I attended there for seminary, and to be there speaking as moderator, as I said yesterday, was just such an unbelievable surprise. Probably not as surprising to me as it is to some of my professors that were there yesterday that had me when I was in seminary. But lo and behold, we never know how the Lord is going to work. But in all seriousness, it was such an honor. And several hundred students were there for it. And for your prayers, made it down there just fine on Monday night. I came back yesterday afternoon, so less than 24-hour trip. But I appreciate your understanding. Yesterday, I did have meetings there in the morning. I stay with my parents, so I don't have to get a hotel or anything. But it's a little over an hour from there to Due West, where Erskine College is, and I had meetings set up. And anyway, thank you for your understanding. It's good to be back with you this morning, and it's good to pick up where we left off the last time we were together. Do you remember where we were together on Monday was a teaching that is so obvious, y'all. Oh my goodness, it's the most obvious thing ever. Doesn't mean that it's easy. Just because it's obvious, it does not mean that it is easy. It's this whole idea of talk is cheap. Right? Verse 22 of James chapter 1, where we were last time, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. And we talked about that. Do what it says. Now, isn't that the most obvious thing ever? But isn't it sometimes so very difficult? Verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away immediately and forgets what he looks like. Shows us where our identity should be based. Shows us all sorts of things here. If you didn't see Monday's devotional, go back and watch it. But it's a very good point that he's making. And then verse 25, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now, this is where we pick up today, because this is where we left off. There's a couple of nuances, a couple of things I want to point to in this, but let's pray, and then we will dig right in here. Our Father, we thank you for your word, that in it, you show us the path to this righteous life that you desire for us. However, Father, let us not lose sight of the means by which all of this becomes possible. It's not us working harder and trying harder and pulling ourselves up and all of these different things. It's trusting in you. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's living a spirit-led and filled life, relying on you. And also focusing on your word, seeking your face, doing what your word says. These things are so obvious, but sometimes so difficult. So please work in our hearts now. Draw us to yourself that we would see the truth of your word. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so picking up where we left off the last time in verse 25, it says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. All right, time out right there. What's he talking about? Again, he's talking about the word that he has been talking about all along, right? We saw it first in verse 18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. And here again in verse 25, he talks about looking intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. Now, this is one of those tricky statements because if you're like me and you have that American streak running through you, or what used to be the American streak running through you, of give me liberty or give me death. I'm probably too much of a libertarian on some things because laws typically only restrict the people that follow law further, because criminals, I don't know if y'all know this, criminals don't really follow laws. After these shootings that take place, I have to really avoid the temptation to be smug, right? Because I have to say, well, no. There couldn't have been a shooting at this school. There couldn't have been a shooting at that shopping mall. They have signs on the door so that people like me, and that we're referring to the shopping mall, it's illegal to carry a gun into a school, and I never would. But nevertheless, that may be one reason why people shoot them up. But nevertheless, when I see things about shopping malls and places that would keep me from carrying a gun inside there because they have a sign on the door, and if there's a shooting, I said, no, this cannot be. No. There's a sign right there. And the criminal that would be so depraved as to shoot a bunch of people certainly would pay attention to this sign, right? So you see things about laws, and there's this streak that runs through me that says laws do not equate to liberty. In fact, licenses, all of these different things, and y'all, I'm not trying to get overly political here, but I just find it ludicrous when people think that criminals are going to obey laws. And so I take that. Yeah, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law, I get that. But then it says the perfect law that gives freedom. This is the issue, y'all. If you're in the same spot as me, where you hear this about laws and you think anything but freedom as you consider laws, take a step back and realize what this is really talking about. This is not talking about judicial laws in terms of regulations and rules and that sort of stuff. This is talking about the revealed desire of God. This is talking about the path that God has laid before all those who would seek to follow him. This is talking about the revelation of God's will and what it is to know him and to please him. Now, with that in mind, and not, that American thing of laws and all that, put that aside. With the idea that the perfect law that is being described here, right? The perfect law that gives freedom. If you keep in mind that this is the revelation of God's will, you find out that this isn't a contradiction and that the law of God does provide freedom. It provides fullness, it provides wholeness. We've talked about this, and y'all are going to get sick of this, but that's okay because if you don't know this, you need to know this. God's law is never random. God's law is never arbitrary. What God tells us to do in his word, he tells us because it flows out of who he is. God tells us not to steal things because theft is offensive to God. It violates God's perfect will. God tells us not to murder one another because we are striking down someone made in the image of God. You see, all of God's laws flow out of who he is. And it's when we follow God's law, it's when we seek his face, in that we find real freedom. Because, y'all, the danger of sin is that it binds us, it enslaves us, it traps us into habit that is so self-destructive that you don't even realize you're destroying yourself when you do it. Take any of the Ten Commandments, you could apply it across the board. The idea of having other gods before God, you shall have no other gods before me, y'all. If you have other gods before God, then you'll have an unending, stable full of gods and goddesses that demand your worship, that demand your allegiance, coveting. I've said it before. How much simpler would life be if we were content with what we had? If we were happy with what the Lord has provided for us and didn't covet what somebody else has? How much of the world around us and its economy is built on coveting, and people become absolute slaves to debt? I mean, people are in such debt. And I'm not saying it's all because of coveting, but y'all, that component is out there keeping up with the Joneses. There's an extremely practical side to this. There's a reason why it says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Y'all, the law of God leads to freedom. Freedom from the bondage of the world around you. Freedom from its distractions. Freedom from its allure as it tempts you with the next thing that's going to make you happy. The next cause that's going to make you fulfilled. You know, that all of these things. And to that end, he continues in verse 26. And this is where the rubber really meets the road here. He says, if anyone considers himself or herself religious, all right, so pause right there. I'm going to read the rest. But do you see who he's aiming at here? He's aiming at the people that consider themselves religious, right? You could substitute the word spiritual. We got this thing going on in the world now where you ask people about Christianity or religion, like, oh, no, I'm not a religious person, but I'm very spiritual. Okay, you know, have it your way. What does that mean, right? And it's this idea that you can have spirituality apart from religion and all of this difference. Oh, no, I'm not really. So you can substitute the word. Let's do that. Okay? I'm not changing the Bible because it's the same concept, you see. It's another way to translate this. Anyone considers himself religious or spiritual, let's say that, and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion. So James is switching gears here again. He's gone from the broad, the overall idea of not only hearing the word, but doing what the word says. And now he's zeroing in on a particular aspect of what this means, because realize this is just an example of what he's talking about here. James is fascinating in itself because of how it's organized, right? There's no introduction leading up to this. It's just he goes from talking about actually doing what the Bible says, and the first thing he talks about after that is the tongue. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Now, here's the thing. You got to be careful with this. You know, it's the same idea of not only hearing it and doing it, but not deceiving yourselves concerning it. Keeping a tight rein on your tongue does not just mean what you say to somebody else. Y'all, some of the people that are worse at this, right? Some people think that this means, well, I shouldn't chew people out. That's true. That's part of this, right? You shouldn't lose your temper with somebody. You shouldn't be firing off at somebody else. That is absolutely true. You should be careful about how or about what you say to one another. You should be careful about how you talk to one another. But don't lie to yourself and think that this is only talking about the things that you say out loud. This also comes down to the things that you say in hushed whispers. This comes down not to what you say to one another, but what you might say about one another. You know, one of the problems is we're in this very strange time where online, on computers, people are burning one another down. Oh, my goodness. It's so easy. I've been calling it keyboard courage for years, right? Through keyboard courage, people will burn one another down. But that's over the computer, not in person. In person, ooh, no, nobody's going to confront anybody. Nobody's going to talk to anybody. You're not going to talk to somebody's face, but you'll talk about them behind their back. You'll talk about them in the parking lot. You'll talk about them over text message to somebody else, making fun of them, making yourself feel better, making yourself feel superior. That's what this is about. But also, keeping a tight rein over your tongue includes what you say to yourself. What conclusions you draw, not only about other people, about yourself too, whether it be negative, violating what God has told you about your identity in Him, or whether it be haughty, elevating yourself beyond what you ought, not recognizing that you're a sinner in need of grace, just like everybody else. Guys, there's a reason that James' very first object, very first application of hearing the word and doing the word, he starts with the tongue. In some ways, it is our tongue that gets us in trouble more than anything else. If not what we say to one another, if not what we say about one another, again, the lies on the line here. He says, you want an example here? You want to know what I'm talking about? You want me to explain, and obviously he doesn't say this, but it's as if he is. You want me to explain the difference between just hearing the word and actually doing the word? If you can't control your tongue, your religion, your spirituality is worthless. Then he continues in verse 27. He just lays it on the line. You're very simple. He said, religion that God our Father accepts is pure and faultless is this. In other words, forget about how you define faithful religion. Forget about how you define spirituality. The rubber really meets the road is in what you do. Because he said in verse 27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Yo, it's just that simple. Now, we need to be careful with this because realize what this idea of orphans and widows is pointing to. Is there an aspect of caring for orphans and widows? Yes, absolutely. That is an, this still applies to this day. But if you rewind a couple of thousand years to when this was written, you and if you pay attention to what's going on in the early church, you know there was a goodly makeup of the early church that was comprised of widows. And y'all, they were at the complete mercy of other people for their existence, for their subsistence. I mean, there were not multiple welfare programs and all these different things going on, all right? So, in fact, we know that that was an office almost within the early church, the widows, right? The widows' ministry. But even so, that still applies to this day. There is still that component, that calling to care for widows, to care for orphans. But y'all, read between the lines here. What God is saying here through James is that the pure religion that he accepts is looking after those that are struggling. It's helping those who need help. It's coming to the aid of those who are hurting and struggling. The idea is simple. God has blessed you. You need to be a blessing to other people. That's what this comes down to. So if you think you're super spiritual, if you think that everything is just hunky-dory with God, examine if you care for other people, right? Now, we got to be careful here. Again, y'all, lots of applications to this. Caring for other people, it's one of those things that we can manipulate. We are all born with a legal degree when it comes to finding loopholes to get around doing what God's word says, every single one of us. There are some that have reduced this to politics. Right? And it happens on both sides of the equation. But especially it happens for those that read this. Okay, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows. And so they say, all right, what are you going to do with James 1:27? Aren't you in favor of more taxes? Y'all, it's like the argument that if you are pro-life, you're going to be pro-vaccine. Right? That's a pretty big step to take. And no, this... I've had my vaccine, okay? So this is, I'm not an anti-vax or anything like this. What I'm talking about is taking that leap, okay? It's the idea of somebody taking James 1:27 and saying, well, if you really believe James 1:27 and taking care of orphans and widows, then that means you're going to vote for this person, right? Y'all, this idea that's being presented here is that God has blessed you, so you need to be generous to other people. If you vote, and I'm not saying, I need to be very careful with this. If you vote for me to be taxed, that does not make you a generous person, okay? If you vote to raise taxes on a certain portion of the population, that does not make you a generous person. If you're one of these that says, yeah, stick it to the millionaires and the billionaires, or now it's gone to stick it to the billionaires. You know, it used to be the millionaires and the billionaires, but the socialist senator that used to tweet all the time about the problem in this country is all the millionaires. Now that he's a millionaire, he's changed that one consonant from an M to a B, which happens to be the first consonant of his first name. I'll let you figure that out. But now it's the billionaires that are the problems. The millionaires aren't the problems anymore. Y'all, doesn't that point to the issue here? Cut through all of that garbage. Don't listen to that. Generosity, actually sharing what God has given you, not telling somebody else to be generous, is what makes you a generous person. Being a blessing yourself to others is what God is talking about here. This religion that is accepted as pure and faultless. The first is looking after those who are struggling. And then, lastly, it's again, I'll just read the verse. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. In other words, what God is saying here is you can talk all day long about how spiritual of a person you are. You can spend all day talking about what you've done in the church and for the church. You can spend all day talking about what you've done for widows and orphans and for those who are struggling. But at the end of the day, what makes your religion, and if you don't like that word, fine. What makes your spirituality, what makes your relationship with God what it is whether or not you do what he says in his word. And doesn't this make sense, y'all? Rewinding all the way back to when God gave the law, you remember what he couched it in? He couched it in loving him because he loves us. Didn't Jesus say, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Y'all, again, talk is cheap. The question is, how do we do it? Well, this is what we will pick up with tomorrow. But spoiler alert, it's not through working hard. It's not through coming up with some checklist. It's through believing on the name of Jesus Christ. It's through walking with Christ. It's through a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, that exists. If the Holy Spirit is the one that dispenses the grace that we need, if the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son to dispense the grace that we need to make it through life, do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Are you relying on the Spirit to guide and lead you, that you can discern between right and wrong so that you would see what the Lord would have you do? This is where we will pick up tomorrow with how we actually do this obvious, obvious teaching. But it is sometimes very difficult. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time and for the clear teaching of your word. We pray that we would not only hear it, but that we would do it. Father, I know I've said some things that are probably controversial this morning, and things that I wouldn't say in a sermon, most likely. But I pray that those things wouldn't get in the way of what your word really says here and what you really call us to. And it's not to put on the front, to put on the show that the world puts on and deceive ourselves and try to deceive other people, but instead help us to seek your face, to just follow what your word says. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you all for being a part of this time. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Let's see, who do we have here? I see Monica. Good morning. And there is Christine and Rose and Alice. Good morning. And thank you very much, Becky. And good morning to you as well, the other Becky. And there's Mary Ann and Helen. Thank you all for being a part of this time, those that are here live and those that will be here. Again, hope to see you tomorrow morning.